We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Carlo Navas. And with me today, it's producer and co-founder Brian Goins here on the left on twitch.tv/MIA.
Bro, what's going on? What's going on in our chat right now? They're sending dicks.
Whoa, what's going on?
I don't know.
Well, what a way to start. I was kind of focused on what's going on here.
I'm sorry, Siobhan.
Welcome, hi, Christian. Hi, Siobhan. Siobhan's on the bottom of the screen if you're watching.
Hi, Christian.
Hey, Siobhan, how's it going?
This is Christian's fault. Christian invited us.
What? What did I do?
Well, why are you blaming Christian for chatting?
Yeah, seriously. He said, what's up, everybody? And then everybody started posting either dicks or boobs.
Okay, well, but that doesn't mean I invited it.
Okay, yeah, they're running
it in calculator terms. So, like, you ever done that, like, in a calculator?
Yes, of course. I also had a childhood, but, like...
Listen, okay, we're a family chat. Behave. I don't know where Brian's...
Where's your moderator? Coming.
Yeah, I don't know. Brian and Jen will be here soon. Regardless, that is our what a funny start for the pod audience. I want to like pod audience like tweet us. What's it like when you guys are listening to the pod and you know it's being streamed? So we kind of you know you gotta get the both worlds. So kind of curious. So tweet us at MIA Heapy your experiences with that. I've always kind of wondered. All right, y'all. So we have quite a few things to talk about today. The Heat finally got a much needed road win for them. They beat the Raptors who, you know, despite them not being as good as they were last year, you know, by all measures, they've been pretty okay. Like their point differential was not that bad going into last night's game. I think they were like less than minus. They were like within, they were almost neutral in terms of point differential, which is impressive considering they've lost so many games. And see, Alf, I have Alf texting me that he needs a StreamYard code in the middle of me doing the show. I mean, come on, give me some peace, Alf. Alf's texting me. He's bothering me in chat. I'm a disaster already. Christian, kind of want to go to you first. They play the Raptors. They play what is one of their better offensive games all year. Their offense kind of looked like itself in the second half. What were things that you really liked?
I mean, I think one of the biggest things that probably isn't getting talked about enough just because everybody's obviously focusing on Bam as they should be, but Goran, after probably what, like a week or two where he was having a lot of really shaky games, he looked like himself again last night, especially when it comes to shooting from deep. And that, I think, is always going to help carry Miami. Obviously, you know, Goran being a huge operator in the pick and roll and really, you know, taking advantage of his craftiness and driving is a huge part of his game, but he needs to be spacing the floor for this team as well. So I think that was huge. I think it's interesting. I don't know why I'm immediately jumping to talking about Mo, but I thought it was interesting that he didn't play after the game that he had a couple nights ago. But so it's interesting. I feel like Spo's been very, very all over the place with his rotations.
I mean, he did that the game before that too, with KZ. He had like one of his best regular season games, hitting 4 or 5 from three, and he didn't give him any minutes.
He didn't play at all last game either, did he?
Yeah, so it's two straight games. No. He's been DNP coach's decision. So yeah.
What they're doing a lot of is they're starting Bam, they're starting Olynyk, and then they're starting kind of a wing, and then they'll kind of sub, they're subbing Bam out, and then they're putting Precious in. So then you have that Precious Olynyk lineup, and then when Olynyk goes to rest, Andre is coming in at the four, mm-hmm. right? So their power forward rotation is essentially Bam, Olynyk, and Andre, right? So they've kind of done this thing where they've eliminated, really, other than Andre playing some spot minutes at the four, that's their rotation now, mm-hmm. right? And that's kind of interesting, because we all, Javon, we've been saying on the show for a while that was kind of KZ's spot, and obviously they started Harkless there early, and they've just kind of settled on this.
Yeah, I think that we're settling into some type of consistency this soon. Or the consistency that we maybe thought, the rotation that we maybe thought we would have seen a little bit further down the road with Kelly starting next to Bam. Yeah, you're right. You know, I kind of thought, especially, you know, he's been showing so many flashes. I thought, you know, that four spot would be suited for KZ or Bam, or however they choose to play those two there. You know, not that we're calling for a ton more of those minutes, but, you know, Mo did play well, or did better than, you know, he had the other day. So, you know, I guess we'll get into Spo's rotation soon, or I don't know if we want to start with that, but it's interesting. Like I don't really understand. I think maybe with KZ, it's just like getting him enough to keep him salivating and to keep him, I don't know, wanting, but it has to break a confidence, you know, it has to break a little bit of a rhythm when we're already in a kind of rhythmless season. So
I'm totally with you. And I think that at least, and like when Jimmy comes back, that's going to monkey wrench everything that they're doing, right? Because they've kind of settled this. And then now when you add Jimmy, you add another guy at the three. Because I think, which clear that Harkless can't play the four. And I think if he plays the four, it's going to be very limited and against backups. I think that they're kind of him, he's going to play the three. And then if they're not playing Olynyk and Bam, or Precious and Olynyk, the four is going to be Jimmy, or it's going to be Andre. And that's kind of going to be what they have going forward. But, you know, throwing Jimmy in there really kind of ruins their rhythm, because I think offensively, especially last game, that was probably one of the better offensive games that they've had all season against a competent defensive team. I'm not going to say that the Raptors are world beaters this year like they were last year, but, you know, they're well coached and everything.
Who were our starting guards last game? Was he Gabe and Goran? Gabe, yep. Goran.
Duncan.
Kelly, Bam.
Yeah. Which honestly surprised me how like well Duncan held up defensively, and we'll talk about that later. But like they've started, I think, 8 different starting lineups in these first 12 or 13 games. Like it's not healthy for them. They have no kind of consistency, right? Like you start KZ's in one game, and then it's Harkless, and then it's two bigs again, and then it's Andre, and then now it's Duncan, right? So like I know that part of that's COVID. But it's, you know, Christian, we were talking about this in the chat. It's really unlike Spoelstra, because he likes a set rotation. He's like, all right, I know that Goran's going to come off the bench because I like what he gives me coming off the bench. I like him against backups. I like that spark. And I don't care what happens around this. I want to depend on that. I'm very structured in that. And this season feels, I don't know if it's because of the COVID, but it's a complete departure. And he's just like, I'm going to try shit until I find something I like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's clear that he's tinkering. He has a lot of guys on this run that can theoretically contribute. I feel like we've seen basically everybody play this season except for Udonis. So he's definitely been going into the bag to see like what he can come up with. You know, you have somebody like Gabe Minutes, Gabe Vincent, who he's now giving like a good amount of minutes to that we probably weren't expecting. Obviously, we have Jimmy and we have Avery Bradley out, you know, with health and safety protocol. But, you know, you guys were talking earlier about how short of a leash KZ has. People have been joking about how I feel like Gabe has a really long leash.
He does.
Especially compared to KZ. He's shooting like 33% from the field, like 28% from three. Like he has five fouls every 6 minutes.
I feel like Gabe gives us a little bit something at the point guard though that we kind of haven't really had, which is maybe he's not the best defender, and I don't know what his numbers are, but I feel like he's maybe a more solid defensive presence. He's a little bigger, he's a little stockier, he's younger. I feel, you know, so he's fighting over the screens, he's doing those types of things, and I think he knows that he's not a prolific scorer yet. So he gives us, you know, that other kind of edge defensively.
And you're absolutely right. Cause I was actually going to go into the positives. And one of the positives is that he's holding opponents right now under 40% from the field, which at the guard position is a huge thing. So that totally checks out with what you were saying, Siobhan. Cool, and also one of the things that stood out to me is right now he leads the Heat in net rating. The Heat are beating teams by 5.8 points per 100 possessions when he's on the court, which is the best mark on the team. So even though he may be struggling in his offensive efficiency, he is clearly doing things on the court that are helping this team.
He's also with a 109 defensive rating when he's on and then a 112 when he's off. So they're playing better defense with him on the floor. And part of that is he's playing with, you know, Bam a lot, especially because he started a few games. And but that's still impressive, especially because they played the Sixers so shorthanded. And Siobhan, I got to be honest with you, I'd not even considered his defensive impact because, I mean, it's not great, but you're absolutely right. It's not Kendrick Nunn bad.
It's not Kendrick Nunn bad. And it's not Kendrick Nunn bad, but it maybe isn't quite Avery Bradley good, but it's enough to keep us maybe afloat. Until, you know, we get Avery and Jimmy back. And, you know, if he can get more consistent with that three, then that's even better.
Like, I mean, you know that he could shoot it. And you know that he can get to the cup because, like, he has the ball skills. And we kind of went through his G League stats a couple shows ago. And, like, he has that in his bag. Like, it's harder against NBA players. But I saw people tweeting, like, he's not an NBA player. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think he's obviously not a starter. I think that's pretty clear. But I do think that down the line, he can help them, especially with some depth once they get kind of some. I mean, if Tyler's healthy, you know, he's not starting for sure.
Yeah.
And then you have a more consistent guard rotation where he's playing against backups instead of starters. The defense is something that has been a little interesting because, you know, we expected them, at least I did, not to be very good. I thought they'd be a little better than they are. But at times it's looked, I don't want to be mean, but it's looked like downright pathetic. That first game against the Pistons, that's the first half in the second game against the Pistons was like inexcusable, playing really soft. Sometimes when Bam would switch, it'd be like a really soft switch. Like they're not getting after it. Guys are getting beat off the dribble. Guys are dying on screens. There's just nothing, you know, like all those like little things that they were always really good at. Even when they would play zone, you know, the Heat would play a lot of edge with their zone. There was a lot of movement, a lot of hands moving. And it's really dialed back a bit, which is kind of weird because you would think that after all the talk about how it's a fluke or whatever, they would have a little more edge, and they haven't. So I kind of want to get into the zone stuff. And Christian, I know that you have some stats because I know that their zone hasn't been particularly good this year.
No, it hasn't. And maybe kill a little time while I actually find where I put that.
Siobhan, they flipped the zone. So last year they would play the bigs up top and then the guards on the back. And now they're doing the opposite. They're putting guards and wings up top and the bigs in the back, which I guess the idea behind it last season was, okay, well, we're going to make any kind of movement on the perimeter really hard on you because we have long arms, we're big, we're tall, we're strong. And then if you somehow make it past our intense movement in our zone, you know, you'll probably, you know, the back line help's not really going to be that strong. They've gone the other way. They've kind of helped the back line help by adding some size back there. But up in front, you have Tyler, you have Goran, you have Nunn, you have Mo Harkless. It's a little different.
Yeah, and I, you know, this is just his team too, and I maybe kind of want him to go back to how we were having it, or how we had it last year. I caught a possession last game where I guess Duncan was in the back line. And yeah. And I don't know. I'll pay more attention to their zone rotations. I don't know if they are sending the back forward to the wing on the first pass or if they're sending like that top guard now, but it's Duncan is a much more improved defender, but it's still, I think, a lot asking him. I saw him go from that back third in the corner, like challenging up the wing and then coming back to guard the person in the corner. And I feel like we've always kind of done stuff like that. Like the person on ball will also take the first pass. And it's kind of asking a lot, especially if we're doing it with our smaller guys up front now.
And it's a tough ask for them.
Well, the reason why they did it backwards last year is because they were trying to prevent like the middle pass or the entry pass towards the middle of the floor. And obviously with like Derrick Jones Jr., who had a big wingspan, you know, you're able to kind of sort of deflect or at least get a hand on some of those passes and make it harder on the offense to get those passes inside. And that kind of helped in the Celtics series. That's part of the reason why they won that series, because their zone, even though there was a couple games where it seemed like Brad Stevens was kind of figuring it out, it at least helped them win at least two of those games in that series.
See, we don't have that length up front now, so
you got free throw line. He can do it.
So now they put that like that high person at like the high post free throw line area. They're just quick passing it. We are back forward trying to sprint up there, and then the wing is touch passing it to the corner.
And I think Precious could do good in the zone too.
Yeah.
I feel like we'll see it eventually. Maybe when Jimmy's back, we'll probably start doing some more of the stuff that they did last year, because even some of the switching has been different, I feel like, this year.
Mm-hmm. The switching, I haven't liked the switching as much as I've liked in the past, because like they have been so aggressive on switches. And Nikias brought this up on the Dunker Spot podcast, his new podcast, which you should absolutely check out.
Number I think Jones. 80 or 70 on the all of like sports podcasts at the moment.
Oh, that's movement. It was like 198 2 days ago.
it's great.
Oh my God, what's this?
Yeah, I don't know. Jack Alfonso kind of crashed the podcast. Jack, what do you got? Why are you here?
I just saw the link in the chat. I'm at the airport right now. What's up?
Oh, are you back in America?
Yeah, I'm in Miami right now.
Oh, excellent.
Is that why you're wearing a mask walking through the airport?
I want all of your Rona.
Yeah, Jack. I'm leaving Miami, so.
We're talking about the Heat zone right now, and kind of Brian made the good point that kind of losing Derek is a big factor in why it's not as successful this year. And, you know, that also compounds when you lost Jay and Jimmy's out for so long and you're playing your guards up front. So it's been kind of funky. They haven't gotten the stops. I thought yesterday it was pretty effective, but the Raptors also missed a ton of shots. You know, Kyle was not very good. And honestly, like,
say it again.
Kyle was not very good.
That hadn't hurt. That couldn't have been easy.
But he did. I mean, he had 10 assists and 7 rebounds, and he did all he could. But like, it's tough. Like when he has a bad shooting night. I mean, their offense isn't very good. Their offense like legitimately struggles a lot.
Say that again?
Their offense is not good. I've shied away from that. Their offense sucks. Their offense was not good last year, and it's like not good this year. Have to do, like, you watch them play possessions, and there's a lot of work being done to get a good shot. Like, it's a lot of Kyle and Fred over dribbling. It's a lot of Pascal spinny things, right? It's not easy. Like when the Heat play offense, you know, you're running. There was that clip floating around where kind of Duncan's, it's like almost like pistol, but it's not really. And Duncan's kind of standing in the corner, and then he's sprinting, and then Andre screening for him, and then OG kind of jumps that pass and switches, and then I forgot who Duncan's man was. Duncan's man stayed with him, and then Andre kind of slipped to the basket, which just creates, you know, a wide open dunk for Andre. And like, that's the kind of stuff the Heat do. It's a lot of off-ball screening, a lot of movement, you know, and then that's all happening off-ball, because on the strong side of the ball, on the right side, Goran and Precious are running two-man game. So like, Jack,
I'm sorry, G, is that what Jack was talking about in the chat earlier?
Yes, like Jack was
that wing.
Oh yeah, I was saying
from the wing
that,
to pin down to the post.
Yes,
that's exactly what I was saying.
He was making.
I can't remember what I was saying, but that's what it was.
to give context to Chad and our listeners, so I had tweeted that play, and I said, well, in the finals, you know, instead of Andre screening, it was Jimmy, which creates a lot of issues, because you're not going to double Duncan when Jimmy's there, right? So you kind of have to play that one-on-one, And when you play that one-on-one, you know, you give Jimmy a one-on-one. I mean, you expect him to beat you. And if you give Duncan a one-on-one, especially with the screen, you know, chances are he's going to get a good shot, or he's going to draw help. So either way, you're winning. And that's like been a really successful thing for them. And Jack was totally making fun of me because I pointed that out. Jack always makes fun of me when he has to. Siobhan, I know you got to duck out.
I'll be right back.
She'll be right back.
Okay.
We have a lot of moving parts here on this heap.
By the way, I found those zone defense stats.
Yes, please.
They basically bear out what you guys were discussing. If you go back to last season, the Heat were running a zone defense on, what was it? It was, where did I have this here? Last season, they were running at about 12% of their defensive possessions, and they were holding teams to 43% from the field, a 0.95 points per play, which is really good. They were a top third team in the league in zone defense, but they kept using it in the playoffs. They actually increased to 13% of their defense. You know, as we saw, they were using it a lot in the Celtics series, some successfully, some not, but they were giving up 46% from the field last playoffs on 1 point per play. And now this year it's completely fallen off the rails. They're bottom 13, using 5% of the time. So they've actually lowered their usage of the zone defense, but their teams are scoring 51%, 66% effective field goal percentage. That tells you that teams are making a lot of threes against Miami while they're playing the zone. 1.14 points per possession. That's not good. And that is why, that's part of the reason why their defense has not been good this season.
Yeah, Chat's kind of agreeing with Brian's point on the zone, that KZ should just step into that Derek role, that DJJ role. And Jared CJ says that.
Of course, oh, no, I'm sorry. Right.
Curtis's hero said that. Shades Fitty is saying, did I miss Awesome Christian stats? You sure did. What is Dogecoin?
Why Dogecoin. Are people telling
you Dogecoin?
You don't know about that? Dogecoin? It's the future, bro. Dogecoin. Invest, buy it.
Do you own some?
I don't know. I think it's funny.
Oh, okay. I was like, wait.
Don't buy a lot of it. Do not. This is not. I am not doing that Barstool shit where they give you like investment advice that clearly doesn't make any sense. Do not listen to what I'm saying.
Don't invest in cryptocurrency unless it's Bitcoin, and even then, invest.
I mean,
don't listen to Brian's investment.
Anything that has increased so much in value so recently. Like, I get it. It could keep going up, but you are risking your fucking ass buying that shit right now.
I heard that nobody knows who invented Bitcoin. That true?
I still know what Bitcoin is.
I can't imagine that's true, just how the technology works. Like,
who on the Heat is most likely to own cryptocurrency?
Oh, Andre.
I was going to call
just being a sarcastic Andre. Bastard. Like,
I'm so glad Jack's back. Jack, want to get you in on this very important basketball conversation.
Dogecoin?
Who on the Heat is most likely to own cryptocurrency?
Let me think. Let's run him down. Andre Iguodala is a good sleeper pick.
First one, sleeper. Yeah. He's the number one pick. Yeah.
we're all in on Andre.
Myers Leonard probably owns some, because what else is he doing?
His dad gave him. His dad bought him the initial Bitcoin investment.
No, I think Myers listens to a lot of Rogan.
He's probably heavily invested in Lockheed Martin or something like that.
Tesla, for sure.
I think
give some nominations. Chat, give some nominations as to who on the Heat is most likely to own Bitcoin. I think Andre's a good one.
I think it's
someone
Andre
who has
Myers.
Money on the team. Who has money on a team that's willing to like?
I mean, honestly, I bet they all do. Yeah. Like, when you have that much money, man, diversify your portfolio. Get a little bit of everything.
No way Goran owns Bitcoin. Just no way. No way that Goran owns any cryptocurrency. Goran's a family man. Goran's not investing in stocks. Goran just wants to play basketball and go home with his family. I think Goran's out on cryptocurrency. Chat's saying Jimmy.
Apparently, Tyler Hero has a sponsorship with a crypto platform called CoinDesk.
Wow. Tyler's
big on that crypto. He's going to make it big, and then he's just going to retire. He's like, I already made it.
That makes sense, though. That tracks.
He's done voiceover chops, apparently, so it's not even like that big.
Yeah, some people are saying that Dragic doesn't even know what cryptocurrency is. So Dragic is all about basketball and family. There's no in between. Soccer. That's it. That's all Dragic knows.
There's a Forbes story about cryptocurrency. I see Andre's name on here.
Of course, of course.
Yep, Andre Iguodala for sure definitely has invested in cryptocurrency. Spencer Dinwiddie is also another player, which everybody knows because he tried to get his contract converted to cryptocurrency.
That was funny.
Garrett Temple, the Brooklyn Nets, if he's still there. I don't know if he's still there anymore. And Aaron Gordon of Orlando Magic.
Wait a minute, Jack, you play the guitar?
JaVale McGee. That's a sleeper.
What? That's shocking.
JaVale McGee?
Stunning.
Yeah.
That's not JaVale that McGee shocking.
Is, yeah.
Here's what you're thinking. You're thinking that JaVale McGee's not that smart. And Bitcoin's for smart people, but that's where you're wrong. Bitcoin is for the opposite of smart people.
That's true. Okay. You know what, Jack? That's so fucking true. You're so
oh,
right.
Chad has a good nomination.
What?
Max Strus.
Oh, Max Strus. His you're dad gave him that, the initial Bitcoin.
You're just saying that. Investment. Do you know anything about Max Strus? I know zero things.
No, just
Max
by
Strus.
The look. Just by the look of Max Strus.
I was going to say, like, if anybody was getting into some shady Bitcoin-related affairs, it would be Max Strus. I've been watching a lot of NCIS lately, and I feel like he would definitely be the, like, the, you know, cyber currency hacker that they arrest. 100%.
Which NCIS? Are you watching the,
oh, the original? I can't waste my time with the others.
Yeah. Are you, like, watching new? Are you watching? Yeah, no. Jethro Gibbs or nothing. Are you watching Leroy new episodes Jethro or are you Gibbs. Watching... You watching old ones? I like Ziva.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's really hard. I actually just got me and Leslie have been just going through the whole damn thing, which is like 16 seasons. We just got to the point where Tony left the show.
Wow, Anthony DiNozzo.
Yeah, so yeah. The very special age.
Wait, gee, I thought you didn't watch cable television.
Oh man, but back in the day, back in like the mid 2000s, we were an NCIS household. We were watching 24, NCIS, every CSI. Yeah, that was Dr. House. I loved House.
Didn't you watch I Met Your Mother?
I didn't appreciate how toxic 24 was when I was young, but that shit was
Oh, it's
best.
It's my problematic fave.
But it's problematic, but it's so
oh
good.
Oh my God. Jack Bauer killed so many Russian people.
Just the justification of using force whenever they want.
Yeah, Jack Bauer's incredible. Like, I will... There was one scene in 24 where Jack had to interrogate a guy like on the fly and he used a cigar cutter to cut the guy's finger. You remember? And I remember
like a Mission Impossible villain did that for the love of God.
I don't know if I was in high school or middle school, but like the preview for the next episode had, you know, Jack like, oh, we're going to do this my way. And he's holding up the thing and he kind of goes ch-ch. Like, you know, he like does the action. And I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. I'm ready.
The kind of stuff we could do on stream.
To the 38 people on the chat that are really watching us break down 24, like, 15 years later.
That's true. We should save this for Stream Beat.
Yeah, we should save this for Stream Beat. I want to talk some about
what the
Duncan.
Fuck is that, Jack?
That's Nikias on Mewtwo. What do you mean? What is that? It's pretty
very,
clear
it's
what
clear
it is.
Clear what that is.
I think it's self-explanatory.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's no question what that is. It's Nikias' head on Mewtwo's
body. I
hope
TSA doesn't let you through.
I mean, they already did. I'm past security.
I mean, listen, that ship has sailed. Let's talk about Duncan real quick, because Duncan's play has been absolutely the bright spot of this season. And I think that in a year where Olynyk's having a down shooting year, where Tyler's having a down shooting year, where just their none is having a down shooting year. And I remember at some point last season, they had five guys shooting 50% from three or 40% from three. That is not the case this year. They have a couple guys shooting under 20% from three, under 30% from three, rather, in, you know, Mo and Jimmy and Tyler and Mo Harkless and a few guys. So, like, I think Olynyk might be getting down there, too. I mean, he's been really struggling lately. So their offense, I think, will be fine eventually. I think their guys that are good shooters will start hitting. I think Olenek's a good shooter. He's going to hit shots. A lot of them, Christian, as you see, are fucking wide open threes. He's stepping in rhythm. They're not bad shots. Olynyk's never taking a shot that you're just like from three that you're like, what are you doing, dude? It's always like pretty in the offense. Tyler, same thing. Tyler's not taking a lot of shots that I think are bad.
No, the guy who that had been happening to a bunch lately, where it was actually really good to see him have a strong night last night, was Kendrick Nunn. I mean,
yeah.
He has been getting left open for months now. And he just keeps front ironing all of these three pointers. Like, it's in rhythm. There's nothing off about his stroke. He's just off. So it's been really good to see him kind of get back to that form he showed in the early, in the beginning stages of last season, where he's, you know, showing a jumper that he's, you know, that he can rely on, that he looks confident in. Like, that turns him into a totally different player.
Duncan, so have you guys talked about Nunn yet?
Not really.
Because I want to say, I want to say my piece about Nunn. I got a mention from some Locked On Heat fan who was like, oh, you said Kendrick Nunn's not going to be in the league in 2 years, which is from a podcast I had with David Ramil about Kendrick Nunn. And I didn't say that. That was David Ramil. I never said that. He threw me under the bus. This is some BS. And I'm going back on Locked On. He's an enemy of Heat Beat now.
Yeah, no, David's a David Ramil, enemy of the state. We're declaring it now.
Does he have credentials and not us?
Because David writes for Forbes and David's professional, and you know we're this wild rampant thing that's asking which Heat players don't have Bitcoin. Brian, you think David would ever have a show on his podcast where he says what players would have Bitcoin?
Honestly, that's better content than whatever they're producing.
Whoa!
Damn, okay, Brian, hold on now. That was kind of hard.
Whoa! We're having fun. David's our friend.
I feel like you mean that. Jesus.
What the fuck was that? I mean, David Bramil's my friend.
This is a good podcast.
That was a joke.
I love Locked On Heat. Go check out Locked On Heat. Give that shit 5 stars.
Kidding.
It's the only other Heat.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Podcast worth listening to. Unless Miami Heat UK is in the chat, then that one is also good.
What about Vice City?
I think they took two weeks sabbatical.
Yeah, they did.
Or one of those two podcasts took a 2 week sabbatical because they got COVID. Which is funny because I feel like every Heat podcast has said COVID,
not
but
funny.
But Locked On.
Yeah, because Locked On's just Ramil.
Yeah. He's the only one abiding by self-isolation.
Yeah.
We're all at pool parties. We're at the weekly Heat Beat pool party.
Yeah, it's pretty lit. Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with 2-day shipping, and the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
They're really fun,
Going back to Dunk, because I want to touch on Nunn at the end, but kind of I want to get to my Duncan points that, you know, he's been great. He's been shooting over 40%.
45% from three.
He's been outstanding on volume.
No, 46. He's actually shooting better than he did last year.
I mean, he is their offense. He has been absolutely incredible. And I thought yesterday was kind of a bit of an indictment on that. I mean, like, and by the way, the offensive numbers have really shown that lately. The Heat offense is 112 when he's on and 104 when he's off. I mean, their offense just dives off a cliff when he's out of the game. The defense remains good when he's on the court, which is kind of in tune with what we're doing. They're plus two net rating when he's on, and they're minus 11 when he's off. So in those 200 minutes that he's not playing, they're getting clobbered and they're winning the 500, the 400 minutes that he's there. He's been very good for them. And yesterday, the Raptors decided that they were going to double team Duncan Robinson off every catch, off that handoff. And you saw in the second half, he didn't do anything, which opened up Kendrick's Nun game. Kendrick was able to do a lot of things because they were sending two at Duncan every single time. And you saw that, Christian, also in the Philly game. In the Philly game, when Duncan was torching them, Philly's like, okay, well, you know, whatever big is on that handoff. But if, this is such bad pod content. Whenever big is coming off that handoff, they're stepping
up. This isn't a pregame show?
No, this is not. We're doing a pod. Yeah.
There's no game tonight, Jack.
There's no game today, Jack. You cover the Heat.
My bad.
Yeah.
I'll log off.
It's... I was talking about how good Duncan is.
No, keep going because he's been really good, and I'm ready to follow you up. Keep going.
No, that's amazing. That, like, you know, he's drawing Joel Embiid's attention, and they were putting Shake Milton, who's been a very good defender, by the way. I mean, I saw a piece floating around. I wish I could credit it about his defensive effort this year. It's been absolutely great. I mean, like, he's just drawing. Chris Middleton was guarding him, and like he's drawing like one, like some of the times the best perimeter defenders on the other team because you need someone who's good at screen avoiding. And that's really fit. And that's a testament to a dude that's undrafted. And I know we bang this drum all the time, but in a season where their offenses look like total shit, nobody's hitting shots. Their best player hasn't played. Everyone looks a little off. And even when Bam's playing well, we have a lack of aggression. The fucking guy that came to play every night, it's Duncan Robinson. And he's awesome. And he opened that game for Kendrick Nunn a ton, because if he's not getting doubled off those handoffs, you know, it makes it a lot harder for Nunn, who really got back to his pull-up game, which is his bread and butter. And once that pull-up drops, the entire floor opens because you can't drop against him and he's too quick and he'll beat you one-on-one. So, I mean, Duncan's been MVP of the team.
Yeah, Duncan's going to get paid and then he deserves it. Oh, no, shout out to his new podcast I listened to. It's pretty good. Long shot.
So shout out to Duncan. We're welcoming in Siobhan back in. Out comes Jack, in comes Siobhan. I feel like we're an athletic podcast. You know, we have a lot of, the athletic has a lot of moving parts. I've never realized how hard that is. Siobhan, welcome back. We're talking about Duncan, kind of how good he's been. Like I was mentioning right before you got on, you know, every time he was coming off a handoff yesterday, he was getting doubled, which really opened the floor for Kendrick, right? Because like now Kendrick is playing, you know, one on, you know, two on three or whatever. And it's really beneficial to him. So like, man, shout out to Duncan. His play has been absolutely outrageous.
Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like the thing that everyone's been focusing on this season as they should be is that he has made substantial improvements on the defensive end as a team bender. And that's obviously paying big dividends for the Heat while he's on the court. But I just need to, like, obviously, I get Duncan's not that young. He's already technically in his prime. But this season so far, he's improving in literally every single category. It's marginal, but like improvement. His points are up, his minutes are up, his field goal attempts are up, his field goal percentage is up, three-point attempts are up, three-point percentage is up, field goal, free throw attempts are up, rebound up, assists up, steals up, blocks up. Like literally it's marginal, but he's improving everywhere. He's taking more shots off the dribble in the mid-range area, which is something that he would not do before. His fouls are down compared to last season, which is huge again on the defensive side of the ball because fouling was a huge problem that he had. So like, I feel like we cannot undervalue Duncan just because he was undrafted. And I think some people inherently undervalue him, especially compared to Tyler Hero. But he is the kind of guy that you need if you want to compete for a championship, especially if you have other stars.
Christian, he's averaging 15 points a game. Like, that's crazy. He's just a guy that's running off screens and shooting.
It's not just that he's scoring 15 points a game. It's that he's doing it on less than 10 field goal attempts a game. It's the efficiency of it. It's that it allows you, he doesn't consume a ton of possessions and get other guys out of rhythm, but he just gives you pure value. Like that is, you have to be very, like the Heat better think long and hard before they make a decision on him, because he is the exact kind of guy you need to build a champ, like a perennial championship team around.
Which not Jordan around, but Beal.
Like he's like that third, fourth guy that you need. You know what I mean?
Would you cheer him for Bradley Beal?
Oh, I mean,
that's yes. the thing. I don't think
I mean yes. you could no, probably yeah, you get did. Somebody else who can give you 80% of what Duncan does. I get that.
Wayne Ellington.
But
I mean, obviously it'd be tough. A package it's, with it's Duncan. Really it wouldn't just be, I mean, if it was straight up, yeah, I would do it, but it would be a package of Duncan, Hero, probably Precious and picks. I don't know it's if I would like, try to include all that. That's the
I'd feel so much issue. Better about doing that if he was clearly plateauing or we clearly saw the best of him. But like right now, I don't feel comfortable saying that. Like,
Savan's nodding her head. What you got?
So I agree. I'm not comfortable saying that because I don't know that he's hit a plateau yet. I do think he's still ascending. There's still so much that he can fill out with his game. My only issue with him is what will he command contractually, right? If.
Oh, he's worth whatever Joe Harris got, which is like 18 to no, $20
you're looking at. Like looking minimum, I would say around 18, 20 million. Like for, so, I feel like for sure 20 million.
So then maybe I know Brad is, you know, our guy of choice, but maybe you're saying that you maybe can find someone that'll give you 80% of what a Duncan will give you. Right. And is 80% of what a Duncan will give you enough? Because it's all of the intangibles of Duncan that make, you know, him what it is, the footwork, the conditioning to be able to get those shots consistently, you know, running these guys all over the place and that shot release. I think we may not, or there's a chance that in the 20% that you lose from getting an 80% Duncan that, you know, that might make a difference. So maybe I like Brad, but maybe I don't go all in all of those chips for Brad. Maybe I'm more comfortable with getting something, with getting like an 80% of what a Brad can give you and keeping all of what makes Duncan Duncan. So maybe for me, you know, the move and the look is at a couple guys out in Texas.
Well, you got to look at the makeup of the team, kind of to Siobhan's point yeah. here. Like you have Jimmy, you have, are you pretty sure that Jimmy, Gore, and Bam are staying? I think those guys are just yeah. generally not going to be part of any trade package. Because why in reality would a team want Goron, especially if they're trading
no, a star? No, and you're really going to risk trading Goron with how much Jimmy loves him? I feel like there's no chance.
Yeah, so let's look at the makeup of the team. So if you add Brad to Goron, Jimmy, and Bam, that's a nice fit there at the two guard with Jimmy at the three, right? And then, you know, because if you keep Duncan in that deal, now you're kind of playing guys out of position where you're moving Jimmy up a spot, you're moving Brad up a spot to play Duncan, right? Or you're kind of keeping them all there together. And that's where I'm a little more with Harden. It was different because with Harden, you know, him and Duncan don't have not just a redundant skill set, but like kind of, you know, defensive liabilities. Not, I don't want to call Duncan a defensive liabilities, but with Harden, it was different because he's a guy that can play off Harden a lot better than he would play off of Brad. Not that he wouldn't play off of Brad. Great. But the fit is so good with Brad because you just have Goran, Brad, Jimmy, Bam. And really that four spot is the only question mark, which I'm sure that at that point in the buyout market, you're going to be able to fill that pretty easily.
Yeah. So, I mean, in the buyout market or going into next off season, I mean, you've got a perennial contender when you've got all those four guys in the row. Well, you know, while Goron is still who he is, you know, like that's a team that is going to attract guys, you know, veterans who just want to win a championship, guys that are willing to take like much less than they normally would. And I think that in terms of value is where you get that 80%. And that's why I'm going to understand if they do trade Duncan for Beal, because you can build from there.
And remember his contract situation. So like the good thing about Tyler right now is that Tyler is cheap. He's on a rookie deal. It's not expensive. He's inexpensive. And I know, Brian, you know a lot more about the cap machinations than I do. But, you know, Tyler's cheap. Duncan's about to get pricey. And they have Bam Jimmy.
The thing is with Duncan's contract, they're in such a good position where they can go over to cap to retain him because of his bird rights. And that's the beauty of it. Like you can go and get a Bradley Beal and still keep a Duncan Robinson at $20 million. And then really the only thing it's hurting is you're going to be paying a luxury tax, but that's not our money. That's Mickey Arison's money. And if he feels like that's a contender, which it should be, you should pony up and pay that luxury tax to keep that group together.
So Curtis is hero in the chat. So something that I really agree with. You can't play Hero, Duncan, and Dragic together at the end of games, which is why the future of this team is choosing between Hero and Duncan or replacing them with an Oladipo or a Beal or someone who can score and defend.
Absolutely.
And yeah. That's a great point because their guards are not good enough defensively to survive.
Yep. Closing lineup defense is important. Whoever Curtis is, you know, is right. That is a lot of liability on the floor. And I like the Vic and the PJ move because you have two vets who kind of know how to close and who still give you that dynamic, you know, ability in a Vic and all the thing that we can maybe prognosticate that a PJ can give you.
That's one. And the two-way guys is just huge. Because, I mean, Siobhan, how long has it been since they have, like, they always play with one-way guys since the Big Three era? Like, ever since then, and even then, they were playing with some one-way guys.
Yeah.
They haven't really, I mean, I think last year in the finals was even then, because you're playing Tyler and Gorn at the end of games.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, you know, Siobhan, I don't want to embarrass you, but like, can you give your bona fides? Because I think if anybody understands how difficult it is, you know, to do all this on a basketball court, it's you. You've played at, do I have this right, the collegiate and the professional level?
Yep, high school, college, pro.
Look at them jerseys in the back stream. Look at that. Her accolades. So, I mean, as Alf said on Hangover Time yesterday, you know, we all just talk shit. And Siobhan and Tiff, by the way, because Tiff was recruited by Pat Summit.
Shout out Tiff.
Tiffany Meeks. Yeah, shout out to Tiff. They know what the fuck they're talking about. And we're gas bagging, reading off spreadsheets and reading.
Hey, we came in fourth place at the media tournament.
Listen, next time they have it, I'm coming. I will come to Florida.
Siobhan, please save us. We need a bucket getter. It was bad. Univision kicked our ass. We can't lose. We can't lose like that.
They didn't just kick our ass. They kicked freaking Solana's ass. And he got his eye.
Yeah, they smoked poor Solana and the radio team.
Didn't we lose to WPLG, though?
I think so.
Yeah.
No, we lost to Univision.
We won our first two games and we lost two straight.
It was because you went cold, Christian.
Yeah, it really was. God damn it.
So, I mean, you Kelly Olynyk that up. Kelly, you look good in the beginning.
I was like one of eight. Ugh, that was frustrating.
Jack is saying in chat.
If it wasn't for me, we would have lost our first game. So.
Brian had a big bucket. Brian.
Talk it.
He did. Brian had like a little step back three that I just did not know he had in him. He looked so cool doing it. I've never seen Brian look cool in my life.
That was probably the best shot I've ever made in my life because that was on the vice court and it was a game winner.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty badass. Fantastic. We're such nerds.
I don't even know who we were playing. We didn't play anyone that great.
So we play? I don't. Yeah. We're bragging about our beauty.
I remember there's an anchor on Channel 10 that's like just really good. And that's why I need Siobhan to play for our team so she can lock her up.
Okay. Oh yeah, she kicked our ass.
Nicole Perez. She was really good out there. Like,
yo, Siobhan, she hit me with the dream shake. It was bad. I almost fell over. Yeah. Oh, I was like, oh no. Not my best.
Riding your base, and get your stance right.
Can we really get Breonna Weber on our team?
Hold on.
Jesus,
I don't know if he'll be on the team. I don't know if he's allowed.
Brian's trying to find fucking ringers. All right.
I don't know if I can get him to commit.
Tiffany Harkless jersey.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so kind of to close us out, because we're running a little bit on time. We haven't mentioned Kendrick Nunn, and we should, because he was absolutely fantastic. He's in his bag. He was hitting the pull-up. Siobhan, did you see that pass that he hit?
Which one?
The one he hit Duncan in the corner. Was it Duncan or Struess or somebody? Oh, it's K. I don't know. He hit somebody in the corner. He kind of got a dude on a fake, took one dribble, and then passed to the left.
I didn't, but it's just nice seeing him play well, you know, get some confidence back in him. You know, I'm happy for him. I am a Kendrick Nunn fan. Shout out to Nikias. I want good things for that guy. Shout out to Maddox, my bad. I want good things for Kendrick. And yeah, if he can, you know, kind of return to form a little bit, does that change the nature of the conversations that we're having?
It changes our calculus completely.
Does it though? Or see, I think we get like lulled into like
if we can get more scoring, that helps.
We'll be locked in on a potential trade idea, and then guys will have like 3 or 4 good games, and then we'll stand pat. But okay, so maybe we can, make this work, and then miss the opportunity for the trade, and then guys go back to
play. Well, I think the perfect situation is a Nunn return sort of to the former ES scene.
Yeah.
And we can move him in here, and we can keep dunking.
Yeah.
Brian's like, create that trade value, Doug.
Brian is like, give me what I want.
I'm not mad at keep playing well, Kendrick.
Yeah.
But I do want him for hours. I really do want him to play well because, it's contrary. Like, this is probably the best time he's ever going to make money in his career. So he needs to play well, or else I don't know what's really in the future for him. Yeah. And then, two, it's just like, we need the scoring, and we haven't really had good point guard play much of all this year besides Goron. So. Having a second guard that can sort of score, and if he can play off the bench, I don't think he needs to start. If he can play off the bench and give you, those 10 to 15 points a game, that's
crucial.
But
then does that mean you go back to starting Goran? Are we committing to starting Goran? Because I don't think that's a good turn, a good deal.
I would start Avery just for the defense.
Yes, yes.
So Goran and Kendrick Nunn, because that's also something that I've monitored a lot of over the years, especially last year. They together are a minus this year. They're like -2 per 100. And last year they were about a little bit worse. So something that, two guards that aren't great at defense. And also you expect Tyler to be the starter at some point. But if Kendrick is going to contribute to them in a positive way, especially as a bare minimum spot up shooter and a guy that can kind of go at the drop a little bit, it really ceiling raises for them because they, there are times that they just look very, very, very dry when they try to score. They labor Christian. They look like they can't get any quality looks if it's Bam or if it's Duncan or Famine or Bam or Famine. And, having another guy like that can get a shot because, Goran's numbers have looked good, but there are times Goran also has a foot injury right now. And I think kind of to Siobhan's point, you kind of want to save him. So if Kendrick can give you, 12 to 15 a game, that's really going to help them.
No, absolutely. And I think that makes it a lot more palatable to have him play more minutes. I don't think he's ever going to be, a plus defender, really. He's not good navigating screens, and he just hasn't made a lot of improvement in there. But if he is clicking offensively, he can be a valuable player, especially in terms of providing that rest that guys like Goran need, and they really should be playing as little as possible and just saving themselves for the playoffs.
I mean, really, in reality, he's taking Gabe Vincent's minutes.
Right, right. I mean, it's also obviously it's great that you have two guys that right now clearly feel like they're competing against each other, because I feel like that always, kind of instigates better play, knowing that you could lose your minutes to mm-hmm. this guy, and when the roles aren't that defined, that is, a plus to kind of tinkering with things is that inherent competition.
Who's taking Gabe's minutes right now? Kendrick?
Yes.
Gabe is taking Kendrick's minutes. Kendrick can't.
I think Gabe probably should be back in touch, but that's
me. So. Surprisingly, Kendrick Nunn is shooting 50% from the floor this year.
But honestly, I don't really like what's the guard rotation when Jimmy and here are back, because then actually really one of them needs to be on the bench, because even Avery would be coming back. That's three guards. I don't know how you split them up. That's
so they're worse when Kendrick's on the floor, and those numbers still hold true. Now before
I threw it into a poll, so if you guys want to contribute, who would you rather have, Gabe or Kendrick? Keep going, Gianni.
I'd probably rather have Kendrick. I guess I'd rather have Gabe. I'm kind of done with Kendrick.
I'd rather have Gabe.
In general. I'd rather have Gabe. I think
I'd rather have Kendrick.
I mean, they're still outscored with Kendrick, right? And when Kendrick's off the floor, when Kendrick's on,
I'm just looking at Kendrick's last two games. If he could keep it up, if he's going back to what he was before, like same with Mo. Like if Mo reverts back to how he started off the season, he just has the Pistons, and yeah, both of them should be on the bench. But I'm assuming that they'll kind of keep up their production now.
Kendrick played the two, because I feel like I want Tyler near a Goran Dragic lineup all the time. I want Tyler off the ball, and so maybe that puts Kendrick in the starting two, Avery starting point, Jimmy three, what have you with the four, and Bam at the five. But then God forgetting Duncan. So yeah, you're right. When those guys come back, you know, we're kind of in this weird log jam of guards that we tend to find ourselves
in.
That's
why we got traded for Bradley. We don't have this issue.
Siobhan, like, they have some consolidation issues. Yeah. And that's kind of
it's been like this for 3 years straight. That it's always tough to guards.
Yeah.
And you know, there's two different conversations to be had, because what you're talking about is a regular season rotation. Because in the playoffs, right, it's gonna be Goran and Tyler, right? Like, bearing a trade, you know, those guys are probably gonna start, and then Duncan, Jimmy, Bam, right? Like, that's what you imagine.
Yeah.
Unless they get a four. So it's tough because their guard rotation is also dependent on who they're playing at the four. Because if they get a guy like PJ, you're starting PJ. So it's right. Bam, PJ, Jimmy. And now that leaves two guards in the playoffs, which if you assume one of them is Goran, now you're picking between Duncan or Tyler, right? So then that's going to also change the math on how you look at the season. And then off the bench, you know, you're going to have your first point guard off the bench, which could be Bradley, could be none. And then the second one is whoever doesn't start, right? It's going to be Duncan or Tyler, whichever one doesn't start. So if they do make a trade, they're probably gonna need some consolidation, or probably none goes in a trade. I think that I'm pretty sure the organization knows what we know. They're not dumb. You know, I think they see the writing on the wall. And I think even last year when Kendrick was playing well, there were some glaring issues with this game that I still don't think are addressed. I think it's good that he had a good game for them. I think that they're gonna need the scoring boost, and they need to survive the regular season. The regular season is for them to survive. Until they make a trade, which we know is coming, they have to survive. But why are you laughing?
Sorry. I just saw that apparently Bernie Sanders reacted to all the memes that have been going around today. And he goes, okay, it makes people aware that we make good mittens in Vermont.
They are. Did you read about how those mittens are made?
No, how are they?
So I forget what the outside is, but the
kitten mittens, that's what they are.
The wool on the inside is made out of all plastic bottles.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
they're pretty cool. Oh. They look like they're big, but no, they're eco-friendly. I guess feels like a good product.
Damn, Bernie.
It like sold
really
out on Twitter as soon as people like saw them.
That's amazing. No better like advertising than becoming a meme on the internet.
Yeah.
I for sure thought that you were going to like put Bernie on the bench of like a Heat game, Christian, as your background. I would have bet money on that.
Put him right next to UD.
Yeah, I guess we got to tell Brass to do that for hangover time. Yeah. We got to put Bernie in funny places.
You should put Bernie. I think you should put Bernie on like that shot with Ray Allen.
Yeah. Like, put like Bernie in the crowd and the Ray Allen shot. Where else can we put him? In the trophy ceremony?
You can't really see it.
When the victory era, the second champion, when they're sitting on that, like on the landing, on that raised landing on Bernie next to Dwayne, Josh, and LeBron.
Can we put Bernie on the what was that like really viral video of them dancing? Costumes,
the Harlem Shake,
like that. There,
just kind of put Bernie in the back,
sitting
of the
in front of one of the lockers, just disgusting.
just chilling. Gold. Did you see that one tweet that it was like, you know, Bernie looks like, you know, this is just that he has like a whole itinerary of things to do, and like he's just stopping at Joe's thing for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that's funny.
That shit sent me so much. Yo, guys, remember to check out Hangover Time after every single Heat game. We're streaming live next episode. I'm actually going to be allowed on Hangover Time. Alf is allowing me.
Wait a minute, what?
Yeah, I'm on Hangover Time tomorrow.
You are?
I'm finally allowed. Yeah.
I thought that was written into the deal.
It was, but Alf said that I'm allowed tomorrow.
Alf has personal responsibilities he needs to take care of.
No, tomorrow Alf is hosting.
Oh, never mind. Saturday, I'm on. He's off.
Saturday, yeah, Saturday, Alf is off on Saturday.
I'm on Saturday, so come,
yeah, I'm
come
on Saturday
hang out Saturday.
Same.
Yeah.
But I'm on Friday first with
Chat's
my
asking
homie.
If you're going to drink.
It's Friday.
Saturday.
Drip drop. Come on.
Dude,
no, drip drop Fridays.
Oh, well, you guys can drip drop on Friday, but I'm going to drip drop on Saturday.
are we drip drop Fridays or drip drop Saturdays? We got to figure
it out. We're going to do both days.
Tradition is Fridays.
Let's work this out, because I like, obviously we're going to die if we do it every Friday. What we should do.
You need to make the rules harder because every subscription is too much.
Once a month, we should play the drip drop game with the subs where we take a shot for every. We should make it a once a month thing to kind of get, you know, to get people involved with our subscription because we can't do it every time because we're just going to die.
Do it bi-weekly. Do it every.
Bi-weekly.
We could do it as a sub goal, you know, where we all will take a shot if, you know, we hit a sub goal or something. I don't know.
We have to figure it out. We got to find ways to intricate the drip drop game. But check out Friday tomorrow. We have Iman from Dishes and Dimes on. She's amazing. Oh, it's an all women's Raptor podcast, and she's been on our show many times. I'm working on a Dishes and Dime guest for the pregame show. So stay tuned for that. We'll see. They have their own pregames to work on. So hopefully, you know, we can get one of them for pregame too for Heat Raptors, and then obviously Saturday Heat Nets with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant. So make sure to check out the pre and post game shows here on Heatbeat for that. Make sure to check out Light-Skinned Opinions on YouTube. We're going to check chat right now. I'm going to kind of throw that out so that you guys can click that little link there, go to their YouTube page, subscribe, and watch them live. They're going to do a show about the inauguration and everything going on in America right now. LSO is amazing. Alf hosted.
Don't we have a LSO right after this?
Yeah, LSO at 8:30 on the LSO YouTube channel. So click that link I just threw out there that Nightbot so graciously provided, and check what they're doing out on YouTube. And we'll be back tomorrow for our pregame show, 30 minutes before tip-off. I believe it's 7 o'clock. I think the game's at 7:30. So 7 p.m., I will be here. I think Jack Alfonso will be here, and probably Additions of Dime guests will be here. And then post-game, us and Iman. So check us out there. Thank you, everybody. Make sure to subscribe to our Twitch page, our YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at MIA Heatbeat. Follow us here on Twitch. That's important. And I'm telling y'all, please leave 5-star reviews on iTunes or Spotify. That means a lot. The podcast is our baby.
Yep.
If you're listening to this on Apple Pod, please give us a review. It would mean a lot to me.
Yeah, make Gianni feel better. He's feeling a little worried about it lately. I know, he knows more people are going to YouTube, more people are watching us on Twitch, but he's concerned about the pod numbers. Just go subscribe, even if you don't listen.
As long as the team keeps winning, we'll be fine.
It's going to make Gianni feel a lot better.
We're finally on our first game winning streak, so like,
give us that sweet, sweet auto download. Listen, that's gonna keep our lights on, okay? Like, just please help me out.
We'll pay for Al's alcoholic addiction problem.
Yeah, exactly. So shout out to that. Shout out to AA meeting.
AA meeting, right.
Hold on, before we go, when the AA meeting came, did you know that was coming, Siobhan?
I did not. I didn't know what that was. We'd seen Al's nipples in that photo before. I just didn't know the rest of what was about to happen.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.